better not to fiddle.
Absolutely. We'll get a conservator to have a good look and come up with a range of options.
Oh, certainly flatten it.
Certainly flatten it, yes.
Yeah, I'll have to put it under the mattress then. At least I know that it's
very important family history.
Yes, yes. Keep it. Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We were just looking at one of the silk or the rayon wall maps that have been printed. Do you see a lot of those?
We do. The War Memorial has a large collection of rayon maps, probably several hundred,
yes.
Would you say?
Yep.
And as textile conservators, textiles is my background, we have actually been flattening them and encapsulating them so that they can be looked at easily. And
also preserves their longevity as well, so future generations can come to the memorial and view the maps. So,
out of the things you've seen today, has there been anything that's caught you by surprise or is quite unique?
One of the things, every second thing that came across the desk, we were actually very surprised. One of the things that I was looking at was a Boer war saddle and was in pristine condition and was absolutely amazing. And that actually belonged to Albert Edward Shegog, 223, and it was his pack saddle. And that was his great-granddaughter that brought that in today, so that was quite amazing.
Shegog's a Tasmanian name, I know that one. And for you?
There were some colonial helmets, some pith helmets, and they had velvet on the surface of them, which is quite unusual. I haven't seen anything like that, and I'm actually going to sort of chase that up now and see if I can find out a little bit more. And also an item that I couldn't even begin to describe, which came with them. It was a very odd shape, and I've taken some photographs. I'm going to find out what that was too, because that is also made of the same fabric. So it's obviously connected. Very intriguing.
When you say colonial, where does the border lie then between war memorabilia and colonial regiment memorabilia?
Well, the War Memorial collects anything to do with Australian forces from since our military history began, the New Zealand Wars. Colonial is sort of up to the Boer War period.
Yes.
The First World War takes over from there. So we're interested in anything to do with colonial forces.
And is this a regular thing for you to travel around Australia and do these assessments?
Quite often when we have a touring exhibition, like we have Love and War here at the moment, we tend to send down a contingent of historians, curators, conservators, so that the local community can bring in their memorabilia and we can either give them conservation advice or curatorial advice.
Yeah.
And so you say your expertise is in the area of textiles?
Yes, that's right.
And, and for the other people that came down?
Ali's in photographs.
Yep, a curator of photographs at the War Memorial, and David Gist is a curator of military heraldry and technology, and Aaron is a historian. So we've got a pretty solid team.
From Private L.M. Emery. 30 years old. So was he one of these fellows here?
Not yet assessed.
Maybe?
He was an elder brother.
Okay, yep.
Right.
Four. Wow, yeah. Wow.
My name's David Gist. I'm an assistant curator from the Australian War Memorial in Canberra. This lovely gentleman's just been kind enough to bring in his collection of what we call badge belts. That he's been collecting sort of over a given period of time, and we've got the tendency for soldiers, most of them are from the Second World War, and soldiers would come into contact with other soldiers from other units, acquire badges from prisoners of war, etc., and attach them to sort of these leather belts. So what you end up with is this sort of like a patchwork on these belts, which is absolutely magnificent. And it's, we were just discussing earlier, that what you've got here, it's essentially a snapshot of this man's service. He's been in areas, a disproportionately large number of them are from North Africa. He would have had to come into contact with individuals from all of these different units and all that sort of stuff. So each one of them's unique. They're fantastic.
And yourselves, a young family, how did you end up with these?
I saw one somewhere in an antique shop in Hobart, first one I ever saw, and I thought how fantastic it was, and it seemed to me a really eclectic collection of someone's wartime experience. So I negotiated and bought that one, and then ever since then I've been sort of scouring and keeping an eye out, and I've had various friends who are antique dealers keeping an eye out for them, so some of them have sort of found their way to me. Yeah, so I'm always on the lookout for one, but it's got to be something pretty good and add a different sort of aspect to my collection now. I've got 12, and so, yeah.
We have a series of sort of bring in your memorabilia leaflets, which gives them basic advice on how to care for their books, documents, photographs, Just basic things that they can do around the home, because it's obviously it's expensive sometimes to get full conservation work done, but there's a lot people can do just by general looking around their house. You can use, you know, nicely washed cotton sheets to preserve things in. It just depends on your budget, but there's a lot of really practical housekeeping that they can do to look after their own items.
And that's called preventative conservation. So if you preserve the item, then that's the less conservation that object's going to need in the future.